In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of the Holy Pentecost period, or the Holy 50 days. And the church reads for us a very familiar gospel of the Samaritan woman. And if we recall, we read it during the Holy Great Fast in week number 4. However, the meaning that we get from this gospel in the Holy Great Fast is different from what we get today. In the Holy Great Fast, the focus is on, you know, the woman and her repentance and how she was restored. But in the Holy 50 days, the focus is on the water that she was going to get from the Lord, or this living water. So the church wants to tell us something about this living water. What is this living water? Our Lord, when he spoke with this Samaritan woman, he said, she asked him, he asked for a drink, and then she asked him, how are you speaking with me? And then he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. So he says, if you had known the gift of God. So this living water is a gift that we receive from God. And the gift of God is living water. And a lot of the fathers say that this living water resembles the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that Christ, or that God, has given to us. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, our Lord says, when he's speaking about, which one of you fathers, if your son comes to you asking for a bread, you'd give him a stone. If he comes asking for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. And then he tells them, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him? So if we can give our children, and even the unrighteous and the people that don't even know God can give good gifts to their children, what do you think our Heavenly Father will give us? He gave us something very precious, His Holy Spirit. And He gave this to us for free. As it says, if you knew the gift of God. And gifts are usually free. You know, oftentimes, you know, if you might feel that, you know, I don't want to buy this for myself, it might be too expensive. But if somebody gets it for you as a gift, you're okay with it. Although it was the same amount of money. Why? Because you didn't have to pay for it. It was free. And oftentimes Christ gave us this gift of His Holy Spirit for free. And you know, it's kind of like, have you guys ever seen that game show? I'm sure maybe the older generation maybe have seen the game show, The Price is Right. And I think it still comes on as now, but I don't know if it's as quite as popular. There's this game show called The Price is Right. And if you remember that game show, they get all these contestants and then, you know, they're all sitting there in anticipation. And then they see the prize. They open the doors and everybody gets excited. It's a new car. It's a vacation. Whatever it is. They get so excited because they see the gift. But you'll notice, so they show the prize. Why? To insinuate or to stir the excitement within us. So Our God showed us and gave us this Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And the question that I ask, are we excited about this gift of the Holy Spirit that is within us, just as we might see a new car or something on that game show? So the Holy Spirit is like the great, or a great, great gift that God has given us. You know, it's nothing cheap, but it's part of Himself. He gave us part of Himself. It's almost like, you know, giving somebody an organ. You know, a very noble thing for, you know, if you want to give something precious to your family member who's in need and you give them an organ, this is something very precious. So he took something of his and gave it to us. But unfortunately, some people or some may not know the gift of God. And that's why he said to her, if you knew the gift of God. So he was telling her that, or he was, you know, implying that she doesn't know the gift of God. So oftentimes we do the same thing. We don't know the gift we don't realize or value what the gift that God really gave us. And In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." So some people don't know what this Holy Spirit is because of their ignorance. They don't want to know. And again, if we refer back to the example of the Price is Right, very rarely do they leave the prize behind closed doors. Why? Because they want you to get excited about it. They want you to feel, you know, that you really want this. And what would happen if it was left behind closed doors? It would kind of lose its luster. You know, when they open it and they see this vacation, immediately what pops in all the contestants' mind is, you imagine yourself there on that vacation, or you think of yourself driving this car. So the gift of the Holy Spirit God has given us, and we read in the Holy Scripture of how powerful and how great this gift is. But do we picture ourselves in the same situation, using the power of the Holy Spirit to convert 3,000, to use the power of the Holy Spirit to teach the gospel and to share with others? Or do we kind of do what the Price is Right doesn't even do, and they hide the gifts behind closed doors? I often fear that we hide the gift of this Holy Spirit behind closed doors. And we do so, and it says in this Holy Spirit, the purpose of this Holy Spirit, as he says in John, is one of the purposes is to bring to our remembrance the things that Christ has taught us. So if Christ has taught us, you know, how to love each other, how to sacrifice for each other, we read this in the Holy Scripture. Oftentimes we go to people's house and, you know, it's time to read the Bible, and we go read the Bible, and the parents are like, go find the Bible. And the kids are running up and down the house trying to find the Bible, and they can't find the Bible. You know, what is this? It's just as if they put the Bible behind closed doors, and then, you know, when Abuna comes out, they'll brush the dust off of it, and then they'll give it to Abuna. And not only that, and then when Abuna opens the Bible, you know that fresh little crickle that you get whenever you open the Bible? Yeah, you get that fresh, as if it was the first time being opened. You know, this is something that we don't want to see. We want to see, you know, the pages, you know, withered. We want to see it and, you know, used and beaten and underlined. So I fear oftentimes we hide the gift of God, whether it be scriptures or the Holy Spirit, we hide it in the closet and don't take it out. And he also said to the Samaritan, if you knew the gift of God. So she didn't know. And I said in the beginning that oftentimes it is because of our ignorance that we don't know the gift of God. And I'll tell you, some people have this kind of philosophy that say, you know, well, I want to remain in my ignorance because then I'll be less accountable. But this is, Yani, just because, you know, you don't want to know, it doesn't mean you're not going to be held accountable. If you look at the parable of the talents, our Lord gave three examples, one that had five talents, one that had two talents, and one that had one talent. What was the difference between them? They all received a talent. But the person that was judged with one talent, he didn't use what was given to him. So we will not be judged according to what we know, but we will be judged according to what was given to us, according to what was offered to us by God. So just because, you know, we choose not to take it, that doesn't excuse us before God. So ignorance is not an excuse before God, and it won't, you know, be a valid argument before God when we meet him in the last day. Another thing about the living water is that this water isn't stagnant. It says it's the living water. And living here usually refers to something that is flowing, like a river or a spring. The stagnant water, it's just like a lake or a little pond or something like that. But he refers to the living water because it's alive, because it's moving. And he wants our relationship with him to be the same way. He wants it to be alive. He wants it to be flowing. He doesn't want it to be just this little pond, and then, every once in a while it rains and puts something in it. But he wants our relationship with him to be alive. And if we look at it, the stagnant water, the lakes, it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays there. But our teacher, St. Paul, teaches us and how our spiritual life should be. It should be as if we're running a race. So just as the waters of the river are running down the stream, the same should be with us. Our life, we should be running as if we're competing for a prize. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, "Do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." So we should be running in our life, not like diddly-daddling and just, you know, hop-skipping down the road. We should be running this spiritual life. We should be eager to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to read the scripture that He has given us, which is the breath of life. So we should do all these things. So the living water, He put it in us, this Holy Spirit, so it can be alive, not so we can put it in behind closed doors and hang it on a shelf. Another characteristic of the living water is that it satisfies. Our Lord said, "Whoever drinks of this water, I shall give him, and he will never thirst again." I will give him, and he will never thirst. And if you look at it, this water, Christ never told her where he's going to get it from. But the water that she was going to get, it was known that she was going to get it from the well. And St. Augustine likens the two together, and he says that the water in the well kind of symbolizes the worldly pleasures, the things that the world has to offer us. And the vessel, or the pot, that the Samaritan woman had resembles my desire, my lust for the things of the world. And he said, he posed the question, how can one ever become satisfied with the water in the well? She came every day to draw water and to drink it, but she was still, you know, in need. So she came back the next day, and she drew water again. But the water that Christ offered was living water, and it satisfies. That's why, you know, she said, "Where are you going to get this water?" And he didn't even really answer her, because, you know, he will give her the living water. It's not meant to be dug out from a well or to be drawn from a well. And this is what Satan wants us to believe. He wants us to buy in to the inventory of the world. He wants us to desire the things of the world. It's kind of like the Lay's chips. They have a slogan, and it says, "I bet you just can't eat one," which is exactly the slogan that the devil is using. He wants to give us, you know, and tempt us with these sins and ask us to take one. And oftentimes what he does, you know, this tactic that you see in the world is that they'll give you free samples. Satan uses the same thing. He'll say, "I'll give you a free sample of this, and I promise you it won't cost you anything, and nothing will happen to you." And what happens? We take from this sample, hey, and you're right, nothing happened, I didn't get caught, I got away with it, and I enjoyed it. It's great. Why don't I keep doing it? But you forget the rest of it. It's a free sample. To buy it, the rest, if you want more, you have to buy it. You have to give up something. You have to give up your salvation. You have to give up the time that you come to church. You have to give up your relationship. You have to give up the purity of your eyes. And I'm telling this is not a problem just for the adults and for the youth. I want to warn all of the parents out there, be watchful of what your kids are doing. Now, we have these devices nowadays that are called iPhones and smartphones. And guess what? They can have the internet right here on their phone. So any of these bad websites, they can watch on their phone. We have to be extra vigilant. And, you know, this to be seen at a such young age will be detrimental to their growth and development psychologically, emotionally, and physically, and even spiritually. It's such a hindrance. So please, please, be cautious of what you're, be vigilant, watch your kids, ask what they're doing, eat dinner together, talk, how was your day, what happened on the school bus, what happened at school. Don't just let your kids be taken and somebody else lead their life. Don't let their friends at school lead their life, but you lead their life. Be the guide, stand up to bat, and stand up to the plate for your kids. Don't let anybody else take your kids from you. Unfortunately, the world out there is very cruel. And Satan out there is very cruel, as he did with Adam and Eve, and as he does with all of us and tries to do today. He wants to kill us. If you look at the young, you know, children from, you know, the simple, innocent 6 and 7 year olds who are have been abused and now are, you know, living an ungodly lifestyle from the age of 6 and 7. And you look at somebody like who was a player in the NFL who committed suicide. You know, Satan wants this. He wants to kill us from young and old until we die. He wants to separate us from God and kill us. So be vigilant. Be watchful. Don't let Satan and the world snatch your kids from under your feet and under your eyes. So what can sin promise us? Or what can sin sin promise or guarantee us? Can it promise happiness? Sure, it can promise happiness. Can it promise wealth? Maybe, sure, if I'm honest. Can it promise popularity? Yeah, if you do this, you'll be cool among your friends. If you watch these videos, if you, you know, try this and smoke this, you'll be cool, you'll be accepted, and we'll like you, you'll be in our group. But actually, none of that satisfies. How many times do we try this, and we go to it, and then we find ourselves still in need? As long as there's a need, that means it wasn't satisfying. The only one that can satisfy us is God, having communion with Him. Why? Because He's eternal. He's infinite. As much as we want from Him, He'll be able to give us and satisfy. The world, you'll take, but like I said, there's a price you're going to pay. You're going to suffer. Both, you know, emotionally and physically, you'll suffer. There's a price you have to pay for sin. Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. So anything outside of God is not satisfactory. And that's why the psalmist said, "For a day in your courts is better than thousands. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and dwell in the, than dwell in the tents of the wicked." So I would just rather dwell in your house, O God, one day and 1 hour than for many years outside, away from you and separated from you. Do we have this desire for God? Do we have this love for Him and His church? Another thing is those who thirst for the living water are freed. The Samaritan woman, she was constrained by the desire and the need to drink. So she came to the well every day to seek it. And as St. Augustine said, again, she came to the well because sin never satisfies. But what happened after that? When the Lord spoke with her and told her that I have the living water, and she said, "Give me this drink." And then he, you know, one thing led to another, and he revealed himself to her and said that I am he. What happens immediately after that? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city. So the desire that she had, she left at the well and went to the city. Did she go to the city? What did she do in the city? Did she go to the city to get, you know, to go return to the things of the world? No, she went to go preach His name. She went to go tell others, "Listen, I just tasted this awesome water. Come and why don't you taste it? You won't ever have to drink anything." So, yes, you know, so the living water gave her freedom from this desire of sin and this the things that bogged her down and kept her coming back. And that's why our Lord said that it'll be a fountain within you. So you won't have to go anywhere to get it. It's here. It's within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Doesn't St. Paul say that, don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you? So the fountain is within us. We don't have to go anywhere to search after anything to satisfy us in pleasure. If we search for God within us, we will be satisfied. And the last thing we can learn from this living water is that we should point others to this living water. Just as the Samaritan woman said, she pointed others to it. And because she tasted it, and she tasted the real living water, she presented it to them in a clear manner. And it, you can tell this by the end of the verse. It says, "Then they said to the woman," so the people are responding when she told them, and He came and stayed with them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He came and stayed with the Samaritans, He says, "Now we believe not because of what you said," so we don't believe what you said it because you're a Samaritan woman. "For we ourselves heard Him and we know that this is indeed the Christ." Okay, great. He is the Christ. Maybe the Jews knew the same thing, but what else? "The Savior of the world." They realized something that the Jews didn't realize, that He was coming to save the whole world. So because she tasted the pure living water, she offered to them the pure living water, and they believed her, and they had the right understanding that he came to save the world, not just the Jews. So I offer to all of us today the gift of this living water, the Holy Spirit, which is within all of us already today. And I challenge everyone to make use of this water that is within us. Don't let the floods of the world and the pleasures of the world take us, you know, and, you know, we pass our days of our life here on earth without, you know, having anything to show for it before God. May God grant us all the gift of the Holy Spirit and to nourish it all the days of our life. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.